This week on One Crazy Story, my friend Jared Scott Stroop joins us to talk about what it's like to be a getaway driver for a card counter.
It was like Boogie Nights or Goodfellas or Casino. Yeah. It was so like
every movie.
It's such a joke. It was such a joke because of if we rose and then we fell as fast as we rose.
God damn. So,
about 9 years ago, when I was 20, before I was 21, I became friends with a guy who was about 20 years older than me. When this guy was in his youth, he was trying to master a card counting technique for blackjack, right?
That's pretty badass. I don't even know where to start.
He's got a lot of stories, but that was one he tried in his youth, and he could never master it. And I don't know what it is about hanging out with me, but he hadn't gambled and hadn't smoked cigarettes in years, and then he hangs out with me, and suddenly he wants to smoke cigarettes.
So you're like the worst influence on him. Yet you're also not teaching him how to count cards. You're just like everything but the card counting.
Right, right. Like, oh, no, yeah, definitely.
And you're like, I'll give you a cigarette,
though. Yeah. So I got him back on cigarettes, and he, it wasn't a direct, I didn't push him to go back into gambling, but he had it in his head that if he went back into it, he could buy me filmmaking equipment. Mm. I never asked him for this. This was his idea entirely. Okay, he just wanted to help me out in that way. He knew I wanted to make movies and all that stuff. So he's like, so he went to a casino for the first time in years. I forget what game he was playing here, but he claims to have heard a voice tell him a number.
Yeah.
In his head, and like he ignored it. But like, had he not ignored it, apparently it would have been the exact amount of money. Oh, that he would have needed to win me to like buy me this equipment. He almost saw it like a sign from God that he was supposed to like help me out here, you know, kind of thing. He was a religious dude. So his way of serving God was to
gamble.
It's
a gamble and promise you abundance of filmmaking equipment.
Yes. So
and you're like, that's fine.
Yeah, right.
I like I'm God like, too.
By all means, so, yeah. you know, give it a shot. Right. So he at this time I lived in Chicago, right, and he was friends with me and my roommate. So and he would frequent Chicago every now and then. So he had a key to our apartment. And one time, he woke me up in the middle of the night. I was sleeping on an inflatable mattress, and he came in the middle of the night and just threw a stack of hundreds on me.
What?
Which is the weirdest way to wake up, let me tell you.
Yeah. I've never had that happen to me.
It's like some gangster stuff. And then he goes, he's like, I had a moment of clarity. He's like, I finally figured out what I've been doing wrong all those years ago. So he like, he saw something. Again, this is weird, like, he almost had like, it was like a spiritual quest for him. So he like saw, like, it just suddenly became very clear. He could see through the looking glass, you know, all that stuff. Anyway, and so, for some reason, I still don't know, he wanted me to be his right-hand man when he went. And
this guy loves you, man.
Yeah, and I mean, I was one of like 12 people he had to choose from because he had two kids, and they were a few years younger than me, and like they had a lot of friends over at their house all the time, and you kind of became friends with him through the process. So he had me, first of all, because I wasn't old enough to get into the casinos, he had me be his getaway driver, which is weird. It's not as... You know, as romanticized.
So
it's not as cinematic.
So somewhere in between, he figured out how to count cards like efficiently.
He mastered the system.
So by now he was like, "I got this."
Yeah.
He's so confident, and he just pulls you along as the getaway driver.
Yeah. So what I would do is I would drop him off at the front of the casino, and then I would just circle around and hang out in a parking structure. Like chain smoking, listening to music, writing.
Oh, man,
just
what a good gig.
Waiting for the call, right? And sometimes it'd be 20 minutes, sometimes it'd be an hour and a half. I never knew.
Right.
And I'd get the call, I'd start the car up, and I'd swoop around and pick him up. And then he'd be counting his cash, and he'd give me the update.
So he was really good at it.
He was doing well, and he'd give me the update. Sometimes he'd lose, sometimes he'd win, of course. But we'd go to the next one.
Have you ever seen that much money?
No, still to this day.
This just blows your mind, how much money this guy's just walking out with.
Yeah, it was the peak that of my financial experience, and it was secondhand. It wasn't even my own.
You're just driving the getaway car. You're not even counting cards. You're not even actually playing anything.
Right. That's
wonderful.
Indirectly involved in this regard. But we would hit like three or four casinos a night, like depending on where we were, you know.
That's awesome.
So eventually, there's the Soaring Eagle in Mount Pleasant, Michigan, which you can be 18 and get in. Oh, and then, of course, Caesar's Windsor.
Right.
You can be 18 and get in. So we went to those two, and those were the first places where I was able to join him at the table before I was 21. And I didn't play. I didn't want to ruin his system.
Right.
So, because that's very much part of it. I mean, if you see someone by themselves, I've seen this happen before. I don't know how familiar you are with the casino
I've always been
world.
Scared to play cards because I know my move can affect that guy's
exactly.
move. Even if they're playing completely honestly, not counting cards, right. I know I'm going to fuck something up and they're going to hate me.
Here's what happens is that they bully you into leaving the table. They mock you. They make fun of you. They give you a bunch of shit and then they pressure you into leaving. It happened to me a couple of times. It's like, I was like, oh, I'm sorry.
Sounds like Thanksgiving for me.
I didn't realize I was interfering with your scheme.
I'm just trying to play here.
God. You know, all that stuff. So anyway, so I would just sit next to him. I wasn't playing, like I said, but I would sit. I found it fascinating, so I would just watch. I'm sure. I mean, I got a lot of dirty looks from the dealers.
Yeah, like who's this guy just wasting a chair,
just sitting there doing nothing, and like, you know, the pit bosses would give me dirty looks. I'm sure they thought I was signaling him like Morse code stuff, like
right.
Like
so
a
you
casino,
probably look shadier this way,
his
foot
or something. Yeah,
you
know, something
like you're clearly the counter.
Right, that kind of thing.
Yeah. You don't
I'm
know how to
luck,
play.
I'm a good luck charm.
You can figure out how to count cards, but you can't figure out how to, you know, to bet.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know this gesture. It's too much. It's like I can't.
Yeah,
it's
this
like,
is
it's
my like, act. This is the player.
They thought I was, you know, Rain Man. They brought in Rain Man. I was a very quiet Rain Man.
Yeah, just coaching.
High functioning Rain Man.
Just coaching my card counter. Don't mind me, pit boss.
Right. So anyway, and you know, while this is happening, he would. He always said, "There's two things. You have to be a good actor." Mm-hmm. To pull this off, and you have to have a lot of money because you have to be willing to lose a lot of money, right? So what he'd do is he would bet small, lose, bet small, lose the whole time, putting on this performance.
Oh man, what a rough night, huh?
Stuff. Yeah, and making you know all that stuff, making it seem
can't
like
can't believe it, I'm about to lose my house again.
Right. Oh, not this again. He blamed me randomly for things
Darn.
Just for fun.
Jared, go get me a free soda.
You know all that stuff, and then of course when the count gets high, you put in a bunch of money, and then you get all that you lost it back, and then some, right? But you have to be willing to lose, or else you get really suspicious. You can't just keep...
Yeah, you just got wins every time.
Right. And so he got... Through this process, he got... He made 60 grand in about 4 months.
Good Lord.
And he got kicked out of every casino in the area, except for one, and I think it was Soaring Eagle was the only one that didn't kick
did
him
Did he
out.
Get kicked out because he was winning?
Yes, here's the process of being kicked out. I was... privy to it several times, right? Here's what happens.
When you say kicked out, but he was allowed back in?
No. You're not supposed to come back. I'll explain that in a second, too. So what will happen is you sit down and you ask him, you know, you try to find a table for yourself, and then you ask them, I don't want to reveal too many of the secrets here, but you ask how many decks they have. You know, most of the time it's like 8. Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So they'll tell you that. You go, okay, cool. That
and helped. You can ask that. I feel like that first question just says, I'm about to do some
shady shit. Right, I'm up to something.
Like,
here.
If you know to ask that, I don't know to ask that.
That's some insider information.
I assume it's one deck. I didn't know you could ask that.
So you ask that already starts your counter in your head.
Right.
Based on that. So you do that. You go through the process. Is it giving the performance? Is it losing money? Losing money. Wins big. Losing money. And then the stack's just getting higher and higher the longer he's there. Mm-hmm. So they start cutting the decks. Suddenly there's 4 decks out of nowhere. There was 8.
Yeah, but they don't tell him.
Well,
you can't
ask
again.
He'll notice that they're switching something up.
Yeah.
They'll switch dealers. Yeah. New dealer comes in. The main thing is the pit boss comes in, and he starts giving small talk. Oh, can I help you with anything? Oh, it looks like you're doing well there, sir. Oh, yeah. And he's got his walkie-talkie. You know, he says something suspicious into the walkie-talkie. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, you're doing well. And then suddenly there's another pit boss shows up, and they just start surrounding you a little bit, little by little. Mm-hmm. They do everything they can to distract you and derail you. And if you still win, they take you aside, and they ask you to leave and to never come back.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
So this happened, like I said, Horseshoe, Blue Chip, Greektown, Motor City, MGM Grand,
every casino
Four Winds,
you can think of in the you know
in the area in the Midwest, pretty much. And what he would do is he would like shave his head and put glasses on and come back a few weeks or a few months later,
wow,
in disguise.
That's awesome.
Win some more, get kicked out again.
What a brilliant but all they did was kick him out. That's awesome.
He kicked out like twice at all these places, pretty much, like him and his alter ego. It's Clark Kent, you know. Okay, so because he kept feeling the pinch in regards to blackjack, he's moved on to a new game. He wanted to play craps. He was trying to. It sounds unfeasible, but he was trying to master this role so you statistically get a certain amount of results, and you could bet according to that.
Yeah, so he's all just, it's all numbers. It's all numbers.
Yeah. I have fond memories at the table.
Yeah.
Just at the table at his house, practicing rolls. Hold the dice this way. No, I actually have a few tricks in my sleeves in both blackjack and craps. I've seen what happens when you try to implement these things.
You would practice rolling dice?
Rolling dice at his table. He got like everyone there. I told you there was like 12 people there at a given time.
Yeah.
And he got us all learning this craps roll. And I believe his big goal was he was going to like take us all to Vegas.
Right.
And we were
like,
going to like take
Kevin
the town.
Spacey and 21.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Totally. He was going to have his empire.
So
of
it's
gamblers.
All in like the flick of the wrist? Is that what
it's
it is?
It's like a motion thing. It's a holding the dice thing.
Are you
it's
kidding?
All that stuff. It's not reliable, but it's, the odds are in your favor if you do know what you're doing.
Jesus
if you do
Christ.
It's hard to do.
Okay.
Consistently.
Okay. I trust you.
It's but it's a lot of like six and eights. Yeah. Stuff like that. It's not like one number. Yeah. You know, you're like.
That's crazy that you could do that. I thought you were just kind of like, I can't hope so.
Pretty much. I mean, that's how I do it. It's like the slot machine. It's like having a strategy for the slot machine. He still insists that there's a strategy to the slot machine. I'm like, no way. There's no way there's a strategy to the slot machine.
No, you just got to show up like at the right pole. Like,
I mean, you can dice. You can like open it up and like fuck with the cords.
There's no
the wiring.
Strategy yet. I pulled it at this velocity.
Anyway, so we would practice that, and so he took all of us out to Soaring Eagle, right? And he won $10,000 at the craps table.
Jesus.
And he bought us all shrimp cocktail and champagne and all this stuff. It was a good time. He gave us money to gamble with. We all lost it, of course. But, you know, so like...
So this guy was legit.
Yeah, we were living like rock stars, and that was the whole thing is that...
What?
That's the whole thing is that... Yeah, I know, it was really, really weird. So it was like... But it was like Boogie Nights or Goodfellas or Casino... Yeah. It was so like
every movie.
It's such a joke. It was such a joke because of it. We rose and then we fell as fast as we rose.
God damn!
So what happened was this household. We were just having all this fun. And we were like being way excessive.
Did you all like live together too?
Yeah,
Jesus
during this time. Yeah. So like, trust me, this place is very unusual. Especially
it was just a party, man.
We were just having fun.
And how long had you been doing it at this point?
This was about a 5-month period total.
And how did you meet this guy again?
I knew him because I was friends with people who
just
knew his family,
okay.
That kind
damn.
Of thing. You know what I mean? And
that's
I
awesome.
Got involved in that circle and all that stuff. And but yeah, anyway, so the next the sad part of the story, the downfall was he just started losing money, right?
Mm-hmm.
Towards the end of that streak. And part of me thinks it might have been a subconscious way to get everyone off of his back because he was literally, he was paying for like 12 people's lives, right, to just have fun. And he wanted it to be that way, of course, but but he's just got on a losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
And then things got really messy, and I can't even get into all that because anyone who'd be listening to this, they just wouldn't want to re-experience this at all if they were in that circle. Yeah. Right? Trust me.
Okay.
I can't get into that stuff. But there was a way. The big moment of the end was the way the house was set up was there was people in the basement. I was one of the people in the basement. I was usually sitting there writing, listening to music. There was a really elaborate first story that had several rooms and all this stuff, and they had two dogs, and they had like several people living in the first floor.
Okay.
And then you go up to the second floor, and there's a room with like five computers. And everyone's just smoking cigarettes and watching stuff and playing World of Warcraft and all these things. Now, me, the guy who got this guy back on cigarettes, I go from the basement up to the second floor randomly because I wanted to grab a cigarette from him. He gets up to walk over to me, and suddenly he just grows very faint. And he just collapses like right on top of me. And he's a big guy.
Yeah.
And I softened his blow. It like knocked me down. Like it was like I just kind of carried
just
him
like
down.
Dead weight.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
And then he rolled over and he looked up at everybody and he was like basically said this big farewell to everyone and then like passed out. It was this perfect sort of like culmination of all of the sort of like the limitless excesses of our existence. Like we were having too much fun. Look at the price we were paying. It was like that moment. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like it was really crazy. Like I said, then things got really messy. Someone, he started making everyone, he wanted everyone to get jobs if they were going to stay in there because he lost all the gambling stats. He didn't lose He had other money, but he lost all the gambling stash.
Yeah.
So that got messy. I got a job as soon as I could and did what I could. But like, anyway, so like it started getting into that stuff. And then
just drama.
Yeah, and then like someone stole shit from him and I got blamed because I was up at the time and I could never convince them otherwise. And so like it literally something started so it was like a 6 month period of a rise and fall that never got to, you know, baseball bat beatings like this. You know, but you know, I mean, it's like,
well, that's probably good.
But it was a perfect metaphor. It's a perfect allegory for that excess and taking it. Someone feeling like they're being taken advantage of and all that stuff. Riding on someone else's coattails for an entire, you know, period of time.
Man, it is nuts to think where I'm like, it's easy to say, like, if I had that skill to count cards, I would never include anybody in it. I would just do it and not tell anybody.
Yeah, right. Oh, he was there was the pride factor. Was like he was so
exactly like I would probably do the same thing. I'd be like, I gotta tell Jared. Jared, I need a driver. You know what I mean? I need a getaway car. I love that you were just in the car like smoking.
Yeah, I was just like, what is gonna happen? It was like fun. I didn't have anything else to do.
That's a pretty badass.
I didn't have any like peel away stories. Yeah. You know, nothing like he had to jump and like
use your turn signal. All right. How'd you do in there? Pretty good. All those hundreds. All right. Just going to pull out here. No turn on red. I'll wait.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, basically. And like, that's the reason he got kicked out of so many things, too. Because it was like, it's almost like he couldn't help himself.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is a story of that. It's like when you hear about a billionaire who's like not satisfied with the fact that they have $5 billion. And, you know, it's like that. That sickness that sort of takes over. So I'm making judgment calls here, but that's I lived through it.
You lived it
6 months, and that's what you appeared to happen.
And it's probably true.
Things got super
the
messy.
Way it sounds.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, that's the rise and fall. Those are my casino years, as it were. Yeah. I haven't been to a casino. I think maybe once since. Yeah. I kind of don't want to go without.
Does it make you uncomfortable going in casinos?
No,
now?
I just know too much about.
Yeah. Maybe they have my picture still.
Yeah, like if I never got kicked out myself because I never had any money on the table, but like I got booted by association.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I always wondered that if I ever tried to come back in by myself, if they would remember or they would just eye me the whole time, you know? But I know too much about the obstacles in the way of winning now that like it's rigged, but it's like so rigged that I just don't. I have the desire to like make an effort to climb those walls. You know what I mean? Because you get over one mountain and there's another one right in front of you.
I don't blame you.
You know what I mean?
Just stick to driving people.
I'll drive them around. Someone needs a good casino driver. I'll be the. I've got experience. I should put it on my resume.
You should.
Getaway driver.
Getaway.
Slow getaway driver. I never had the speed to get away.
Yes. Conspicuous getaway driver.
It wasn't like Bonnie and Clyde, you know. It was very much like, oh, how'd you do?
All right, how was everything good? Great. Let's get out of here.
You want to go another one? All right.
That's all for this week. If you enjoyed the show, please find Jared on Twitter at jscottstroop. You can also follow the show on Twitter at onecrazystory, as well as Facebook, facebook.com/onecrazystory. And of course, head over to the website, onecrazystory.podbean.com, and find out about all the episodes you may have missed. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it.